Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks so much for being with us today. It is the last Monday in wintertime. Yes, it is. Okay. It's March 18th, 2024, and we've only got a couple of days till the solstice, and then it becomes spring. How about that? There you go. Your first springtime little enjoyment here, and I just realized my microphone was a little too low there, so I hope you could hear me. Welcome to today's Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. I'm Larry Jacobs. We've got a wonderful educator with us today. We've got Teresa Koppel here today. Teresa is out in California. Thanks for getting up so early, okay, because it is 30 here, 7:30 in the morning there. Riverside County, she's at the Riverside County Office of Education, where she is the deaf and hard of hearing itinerant teacher. That means she moves around the district, obviously. Okay. And she recently won the Council for Exceptional Children. Thanks for sponsoring today's show. Council for Exceptional Children, the National Teacher of the Year Award. Congratulations, Teresa. That's just great. It's going to be a wonderful interview about what it's like to do what she does and how you too, when you have to, need to work with the specific needs, okay, of deaf and hard of hearing kids in your classroom. It's going to be a really, really interesting show, which we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And we certainly hope that you go over there, check out everything. It's free, our magazine, our Equity Awards program, all the podcasts, everything's there, ace-ed.org. And without further ado, out in California. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Hey, I'm just fine. How's the weather? Well, you know yet. It's only 7:30 in the morning. How's the weather out there in California today from across the country here in Maine?
It's supposed to rain. It's supposed to rain in a couple hours. And, you know, before we get started, I just need to do something, a shameless little plug. Today is my daughter's 17th birthday, and I want to wish Sarah Koppel a very happy birthday.
Right. What is her name? Her name?
Sarah.
Wait, excuse me. Sarah, forgive me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sarah. Happy birthday to you. There you go.
And since you're on the phone, I just had to sign that to her. So she's sitting right there,
did.
And she's like all smiles.
And she's like, well, she's like every other teenager. She's now saying, please don't do this. Why did they have to do this? Please don't do this. Okay. But I hope she has a great birthday. I hope mommy has a great birthday with her. And does she know what she's getting yet? Did you give her a present at all? Or?
Well, I gave her a Texas, since we were at CEC in Texas, she just got a Texas sweatshirt to wear today. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Okay. I'm sure that, you live in California, so I'm sure you got her a Porsche. You probably got her a brand new Porsche. Right.
Yeah.
You live in California with the movie stars, right?
Right. But you forgot the part that I'm a teacher, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. This is great. It's great to have you here. Congratulations. You know, it's a big deal. National CEC Teacher of the Year Award. When did you win that?
They surprised me last month. And it was my coworker and I, we team up and we do presentations, and the high schoolers, we get together and we have their meetings. And so I bring a little wagon. I have all my stuff. And of course, I got some donuts for the kids. And, you know, we're just ready to go to meet with all of La Sierra High School VHH students and go into the room. And there are our board staff and our CUE staff and my friends, my family, all around. And it was really a surprise. Kathleen Tejeda, who I work with, is an RSP teacher. Her and Nathan Swit, who I worked with California CEC, nominated me. And I totally forgot, because Kathleen has done this like three times in a row to nominate me. And there's just so many teachers who are nominated. And so I was totally surprised.
They are all deserving, and you won. So congratulations, Madam Winner. It's like
Thank
Best
you.
Actress of the Year. They are all deserving, but you won. Okay, you and Emma Stone.
Okay.
Congratulations, Teresa. That's really nice.
Thank you.
And that's wonderful the way you found out. And, you know, it's just great. So now they give you a private jet, and you go on tour all over the country. Is that correct?
All over the country. Yes.
Yeah,
and
so
it's invisible.
Yeah.
We borrowed it from Wonder Woman for a year, so we're good.
That's great. So congratulations. That's great. My wife years ago taught the deaf kids. Years ago. Okay, deaf people. I shouldn't say it that way. Let me say it a different way. Stop. Hold on. She learned sign language, and she was a paralegal, and her and a couple of lawyer friends of hers started something called the Southeastern Pennsylvania Legal Services for the Deaf. This was 1,000 years ago.
Wonderful.
Okay? And it was really a nice thing because when you are deaf, a lot of people don't realize this, when you are deaf or really, really hard of hearing, it's hard to get some of the concepts. Okay, it's easy to get words and all that, and you know some of this certainly, Teresa, but concepts are hard, okay? And it's hard, you know, for people to understand legalese anyway. But if you're hard of hearing, it's extremely difficult, even if you know sign language, et cetera, which everybody does. So this thing, which is still, as far as I know, it's still going. We don't live in Pennsylvania anymore, but it's still going, okay? 1,000 years ago. It was great stuff.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so well,
yeah,
nice.
It's a totally
back of my
different
head.
Language, too. Yes.
It is, you know. And actually, you make a good point. It's like teaching ESL kids. You know, not every concept is the same. Not everything translates perfectly, okay? And that's why it's so hard, okay, to teach any group like that, okay? And I congratulate you for the work you do. And by the way, you use the word itinerant teacher. That just means you work for Riverside County Office of Education out in California, which means you go around different schools. Okay, as an itinerant teacher, you're really just a countywide educator, right? That's basically what you are.
It is. So, actually, I work for Riverside County Office of Ed, and I serve districts like Alvord Unified School District and Springs Charter. So then I will serve those schools of those districts.
And how many, just on average, I don't know the answer to this. I don't hear it that often. What's the percentage of kids in any given high school that would need your services? Or any different, every specific district, whatever it might be? How's it work?
Well, I don't know the percentage of other districts, but for me.
Well, for yours.
Historically, across the last 20 years, my two biggest high schools run about 10 to 12% of my entire caseload. So I'll usually have, and I'm not good at math. Okay, Larry. So
that's no, never mind. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
But I usually have about 10 to 14 students, at my two biggest high schools. And then our newer high school, I have between 2 and 5.
And are you just teaching high school or are you teaching?
Oh no.
So how do you, and I got to ask this question, how do you manage to do that, to take care, okay, of you and talk about your team, how's it work from the district, and how do they take care of these kids with the deaf or hard of hearing problem, what you call DHH, okay, how do they set up the day? How do they find the right teachers to do it? How's it work from your point of view and theirs? That's a big question, but about it. Yeah.
So for me, it's just me. So I'm the only one that serves Alvord Unified School District. So as far as setting up the day, no one sets up the day but me. So
okay.
So
you work only with high school
liberty
kids.
And they trust
you work
me.
Only with high school kids, right?
No. I work from
you work K-12.
From Yeah, pre-K. So I have pre-K to post. So I have students that literally came into my program in diapers and who have graduated. So I had two twin DHH boys who came in, and they went through from pre-K to all the way through their senior year and graduated. And I just ran into one the other day, passing by on one of the schools as he drove by and waved at me and stopped and said hello.
I would hope so.
But so my day typically starts about 8:30, depending on IEP meetings and so forth. And I'll start typically with well, I can't say I totally dictate my own day because IEPs dictate some of that time.
Yeah,
right, sure. So meetings and so forth. But typically my day starts in the elementary school. From there, I see between 1 to 5 students at each of the elementary schools. I'll be checking on their hearing aids, going over their goals. I will be meeting with speech teachers, classroom teachers. Then I'll be like racing back to my office to jump in to a online Zoom meeting to do an IEP, or I might be jetting across town to do an in-person IEP meeting. And then usually the afternoons, well, then there's mid-morning. So you have a block of time between like 11 and 1, and that's when, of course, all the students are going off to eat or so forth, you know, for lunch. I'll try to sneak in some office time right there so that I'm not having to wait 15, 20 minutes for them to get done with their lunch or in between. And then I see my high schoolers in the afternoon. And so we do a lot of
group
transition meetings. It is, but I like all the different, I like how it changes. And pretty much if I put a gold star, like I'm old school, so I make my itinerary out on the day on a piece of paper. And if my day goes exactly as I have laid out, I get a gold star to myself because that is very, that's not typical. I'll usually get a text or a call like, hey, Miss Teresa, my hearing aid broke, or, you know, something's going on with the equipment, or can you swing by and bring us some batteries? You know, so.
Wow.
It never usually goes as planned.
And this is my curiosity. These kids, they see you part of the day, but I'm sure they're in regular classes the rest of the day. Am I correct?
Most of my students, yes. Most of my students are Gen Ed students. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So how do you, and this is curiosity, how do you coordinate with their teachers? Okay, because their teachers, their history teacher, math teacher, et cetera, they have to work with them. And how's it all shake out in that regard? And I want to get into this a little bit. I know the technology is pretty damn good these days, but it's still not perfect out there. Okay, talk about how the Gen Ed teachers do their job with the deaf and hard of hearing kids, how they coordinate with you, and how it all results with the kids, et cetera. Good, Therese. It's cool stuff.
So I would like to say that each and every time that I go into a classroom, it's already predetermined and pre-planned, and everybody knows that I'm coming, but that would not be that would be partial truth for some of the time. But most of the time, thankfully, my Gen Ed teachers are familiar with me, and especially in the elementary school, and I am in and out of the classroom, or I will call the student up to do one-on-one sessions with them. Some have typical days that I do see them, but most of the time is that I come in to see the student. We will work together, we'll work in small group. My elementary, they know that I come at like 8:30, 8:45 in the morning. That's when we have our session. I try to coordinate with my high schoolers for the classes. Oh, Larry, don't shoot me. But
you're safe.
If they
you're safe.
Out
I guarantee it.
Okay, I'm safe. It's not being broadcasted to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. But if they want out of a particular class, I might see them during that time. Honestly, it's the classes that they're like, okay, I can miss a little bit of this class so that I can see you for 15, 30 minutes. So.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you a funky question. And I think it's different from elementary to high school. Of course, the young kids are learning academically. But I have a feeling they also have to learn to operate their equipment, or perhaps learn sign language, whatever the case may be. Okay? And I'm curious, what just in the typical session with the kids, let's talk about the elementary kids. What do you do with them? As their DHH teacher, what do you do with them? When you're sitting around in a circle or with a couple of them or just one-on-one, what are you teaching them academics, or are you teaching them how to work their specific needs and challenges to be successful? But probably a little of both.
I was going to say yes. So
or a lot of both. Yeah.
So it depends on where they're at and how long that I've had them. So if a child comes in pre-K, kindergarten, we start right off, right away on how to operate their equipment and they become the biggest advocate and the biggest troubleshooter when it comes to their equipment. So that's one of the first areas that we will work on, because if they can't mm-hmm. hear, then how it really affects their learning, their listening.
Oh, of course.
But we also work on self-advocacy goals. We learn
Great.
About parts of the ear so that they can be able to describe their hearing, and they are able to describe their hearing to a friend, to a teacher, and then be able to talk to an audiologist. And so in knowing those terms, knowing how the ear works, we do work on goals in advocacy. And then also if there's issues with listening comprehension, we will work on comprehension goals, vocabulary. So when you say bush to it, it's all of that.
It's all of that. And are you also helping them with academics?
So again, when it comes back to like for listening comprehension, I'm not teaching science, but mostly mm-hmm. going in after the reading, the vocabulary. One of our goals is to learn about other deaf and hard of hearing individuals in history.
Looking
at magazines that are just particular for deaf and hard of hearing children. So, yeah.
A lot of this, Therese, it sounds very much, and I like the way you said that, and I'm going to use the term, it's social-emotional. It's making these kids understand how to take care of themselves, okay, and if they're down, to get back up, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds to me like you're working very hard to make sure that they know they have a successful place in the world. I think that's what the bottom line of all. It sounds very social-emotional to me, very cool.
Absolutely.
I love it.
And this is one of the benefits that I get to have, is because since I get them, some students I have from a very young age, and then I move along with them, and they get nervous about, oh, I'm going to high school, then it's like, it's
every
okay, I'm going to see you
yeah.
there, you know, and then oh, I'm going to
yeah.
go to high school,
yeah.
it's okay, I'm going to see you there. And it's like, no, I'm not following you to college, but you can give me a call, because once you're one of my students, you're always one of my students. So if they want to connect with
oh,
me
nice.
After they graduate on FaceTime, or if they want, you know, they have my cell phone. All my kids have my cell phone. All my parents have my cell phone number.
Yeah.
I'm like, you run into something, give me a holler. But that's a beautiful part of this particular job, is because I get to go through all 12 years with them.
Yeah,
and
it's really
I get to know the
amazing.
Families. It's a lot of that's one of the real perks.
And here's another question. How did you learn to do all this? Where'd you learn all this? How'd you do it?
So on the school bus, when I was in fifth grade, one of my classmates, her parents were deaf, and she taught me my ABCs in sign language.
Nice.
Look, it depends on how far back you want me to go in this story. But she taught me my ABCs.
Go back as far as you
friend.
Like.
There yeah. you go. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning. And my best friend and I went to the little school library, and we got a book on sign language, and I started learning some sign. And from there, my middle school, my best friend and I, we petitioned the counselor to get some ASL classes as an elective.
Cool.
And they did that. And those two interpreters who were teaching those sign classes adopted me, and I went along with them to other courses. And as soon as I could drive, then I was taking myself to night school, learning sign. And my mother has said I would always be a teacher. And I'm like, no, Mom, I want to be a sign language interpreter. I want to be an interpreter, which I did. And I went on to become an interpreter. But I worked in the schools. And Julie Halbrun was my lead teacher at the time and encouraged me to continue on to become an educator. And so that was all on the East Coast. I grew up in Kentucky, went to school in Kentucky and Ohio,
taught
in the Cincinnati School Public, or interpreted in the Cincinnati Public School System. I taught at the very, the only deaf school, St. Rita School for the Deaf in Cincinnati, Ohio, the only Catholic deaf school in the world, at least
wow.
from the time that I was there. So,
right.
Yeah, and then I moved out here to California.
Well, and there you're doing your good work in California, which is great, in Riverside County. I hope they know how lucky they are. I want to ask you, actually, you asked me to ask you this, and I am, because I don't understand it. Tell me all about it. who is this year's, maybe it's you, but I don't think so. Maybe it is. Council for Exceptional Children, CEC, they have a Yes, I Can Award. Okay? In the there's a recipient in the area of technology. Talk to me about this. Who won? What is
right.
This?
So there's 12 students who are honored through the Yes, I Can Awards in different categories such as academics, art, self-advocacy, technology, and there's other categories as well.
Are these just deaf kids, or are they all special needs kids, or is this just in the
these
area of deafness?
No, this is for exceptional children,
no
matter what their disability is.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so there's 2 students per category that are honored at the CEC through the Yes, I Can Awards. And and our Chema, Jose Maria Romo, he's in 5th grade here in Riverside, and I nominated him. Along with his mom. His mom helped me nominate him. And he won for this year's Yes, I Can Award.
Whoa.
He's been one of my pre-Kers. So he's been with me since he was in pre-K.
And why did he win? What did
he
do?
So his category is area of technology. And
he's
just sharp as a whip. I wish I could, take him with me to all my schools because – he just knows his technology. He knows how to connect. And honestly, I believe he's the one that has the most diversified types of equipment. So he has a dynamic sound field tower in the classroom. The teacher wears a microphone. He has a receiver that can convert into a microphone. And then he has a Phonak hub that connects to the computer, his media. And he knows how to connect everything. He's able to... While we were there at Texas, he was giving, he had a table set up and all these educators are coming up to his table and he's giving this 5 to 7 minute spiel on how everything works and how to wear it, how to make sure the microphone is, we call it L distance. So you make an L with your hand, which is about, 3 or 4 inches from underneath your chin. He's showing all the ins and outs and, his mom and I couldn't have been more proud.
Well, congratulations to him. That's really – it's fantastic. And I want to ask, how do other kids – and you must teach this. You must work. How do other kids react to having a deaf kid in the classroom? I mean, there are changes within the classroom. How do the kids and how do the teachers react? What's the anecdotal relationship, if I may? What are you seeing?
Well, I think one of my favorite types of classrooms to go in to would be with the elementary school. And after reviewing with the student on how their technology works, going in and doing a presentation to the entire class, taking out the mystery, what are you wearing? What is that on your head? And going over the perception that when they ask you, what are you wearing? They're not bullying you. They're really just inquisitive and they don't know.
And
right?
By the way, I'm going to ask you this. What are they? Are they wearing headphones, headsets? What are they wearing when you say that? What are they wearing?
So most students, there's a few students that do wear headsets, but not many. Most will have a focus or an attachment to their already existing hearing aid, like a receiver. But if it is something new for those other students to see and new for that student, I'll do a 5 senses lesson. And we go over, what do you use to hear? What do you use to see with? And we go over we talk about the 5 senses, and then we focus in on hearing. And then I play a little game with them. And, of course, my student always wins because they have the best technology. And it's about a distance game, right? So I'll say, repeat after me what you hear. And I will say orange, and then everybody will say orange. And then they'll go to the corner of the room and whisper a different word until I'm literally outside of the door. And the only one that can hear me is the student with the technology. And so that's always a really great game. And then I'll take around the receiver so that other students can hear what it sounds like through it. Let the teacher hear what it sounds like through it. And that's the best type of situation. And some of my high schoolers, many of the other students don't even know our students have hearing loss.
Especially
if we have the tower already in the classroom, the teacher's wearing the microphone, the whole room is already amplified. That's a wonderful setup just because then the teacher is saving their voice because their voice is amplified through the speaker. Students' background noise is reduced just because when you hear a microphone, you're like, I'm being entertained. And there's like this subconscious, the background noise is reduced and hearing is better. Test scores go up when sound field systems are used in the classroom. And
of
so
course.
Not only, and my students then have that ability to be directly connected to the microphone, and there's a pass around mic as well that students can then can use other students so they can work on their public speaking. But again, that's directly connected in to our DHT students' hearing aids.
It's really cool. And I have to ask this, and this is a problem. I think I was a teacher for years. They never even mentioned any of this stuff when I was back in school way back when. Okay, there was no such thing as special education, okay, as far as I know, way back when I was in school. Okay, it's so long ago and so ridiculous. But teachers, especially new teachers, they all of a sudden they have a deaf kid in their class. Okay, child transfers in from another district or just starts in, you know, in their district, et cetera. And all of a sudden, they've got this kid who is as bright as everybody else, okay, just has a special need. All right, so how do you work with the teachers? What do you say to them? Because they're going to have this kid in their classes. Yeah. Well, how do you work with them?
Well, one of the good things is our teacher preparation courses, and there are some of that coursework, but we also have one-on-one time that we meet with our teachers. There's information that they'll get monthly in their mailbox on tips and tricks, but mostly it's that one-on-one time. And working with the teacher, you know, if I can sneak in on their lunch break, if I can come in on their prep time. And sometimes it's just they're in the middle of a lesson and I'm in the room and there's a pause and I'm like, you know, you might want to bring that microphone up a little bit or, you know, hey, great job. He's seated right where he needs to be so that he can see and hear you the best. So,
and actually that, you just brought up something interesting. Yeah. You were talking about how you were the self-advocacy. So if they can't hear the teacher, even what they have the right equipment, do the kids understand they got to self-advocate and say, hey, Mrs. Johnson, okay, you got to speak louder, or can you turn up your mic, or can you re-aim the whatever? Okay, do they do that? Are the kids feeling good about themselves? That's the key.
So I'm going to say some, because you're going to have some that are advocating, like our Chema, that who I just mentioned. He's not letting you get away with anything if he can't hear. At one point, he only had one tower in one of his classrooms, and then he ended up having to go to a second one. He would literally unplug it and take it to his other classroom, which was across the room.
Goodness.
And you'll have students like Chema. And then you'll have students that are more like, you know what, I'll ask the teacher afterwards. I'm going to ask my neighbor. So it is a matter of like, okay, if you're not going to ask the teacher, what other resources do you have? You know, have you learned about this particular teacher? And that's part of self-advocacy, too, is choosing. You get to choose when you're going to advocate for yourself and how you're going to do that. So maybe you will ask your neighbor. Maybe you will go on to the Google Classroom and see what the assignment was because you couldn't hear whether it was page 21 or 27. And so that's all about the self-advocacy, and that's one of the really nice things about our one-on-one meetings or our group meetings is we talk about those things because you go into a classroom where that teacher will just start as soon as you walk in the door and they don't stop, you know.
Right.
So
it's good. It's a
variety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to see this as we wind down here. Teresa, what's your favorite, what's the number one tip you give to a teacher when they get a deaf student? What's the first thing you say to them? What's the biggest tip?
That you're not loud enough.
Good
loudness
enough.
Does not equal clarity. So please use the equipment. That would be number one.
Yep.
And if I could just sneak in another one, is know which side is your student's better ear.
That's great.
Shoot, you know, I've been at this for years, but I have to still look at my own. Okay, is it the left ear or the right ear? Which one is better? And being sure that they're seated on the right side of the classroom.
Wow.
And when in doubt, put them in the middle if that's where you're teaching from. But sometimes even putting a little sticker on their desk or a sticker on your board, wherever it is that can give you a visual to remind you, Oh, it's the right ear. Oh, it's the left ear. But knowing which is the student's better side.
And one last question, just anecdotally, because every kid is different. How are the kids? How are the deaf, hard of hearing kids doing academically? Okay, and just your kids anecdotally, they're doing okay?
So across the board, they are reflective of the gen ed. I mean, they're reflective of the regular population. So I have some that are AP students or GATE students, and then I have others that maybe are in SDC or need further support through RSP. So across the board, they're reflective of the gen ed.
That's the perfect answer. That's the perfect answer, just like everybody else. Okay, it's unbelievable. Have a great birthday. Where are you going for the birthday celebration tonight? Yes.
Well, she wants to go to the mall and get her nails done, so we're going to do that. And then we'll end up the day with Panera because that's where she wants to go. So.
That's happy birthday. That's all you need to know. Okay, go get her nails done. Have fun. Teresa, this was lovely.
Right.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thanks,
you're a wonderful
Larry.
Teacher. You're going to heaven. Just in case you don't know that, you're going to heaven. Not soon. Not
have
soon. But you'll go when the time comes. Okay?
Right.
Thank
please,
you,
please,
Teresa.
Not soon.
This was great. You made
all
me
right,
laugh.
Bye now.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
What a lovely person, for goodness sakes. Teresa Koppel, she's deaf and hard of hearing, countywide teacher, and the National CEC Teacher of the Year. Wow, incredible. Now you know why. We'll archive over at 8-ed.org. Go over and see what we do. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.